The Feast of Pope John Paul II is coming up very soon, on October 22nd, and I'd like to offer 5 points of reflection on his life. The first aspect of his life, of course, if you're just looking at a brief biography of his life, the first thing that should stand out is the suffering and hardship and conflict that he had to endure. From the age of 9 years old, his mother passed away. He lost a brother. He lost a father. When he was entering a university, the Nazi occupation took place. And so it's important to remember, because I think we lose sight sometimes when we think about the saints, that they didn't start off saints, that Pope John Paul II was a boy at one point, that he used to play soccer, that he was an actor, and that he was an average everyday person who simply found God's will. Yes, he can have you become a saint, and it can be a glorious popular saint like Pope John Paul II, or you can be a glorious hidden saint. That doesn't matter. But the point is, there was so much suffering in his life, where any other person, you look at somebody who comes from a home where there's all this kind of death and destruction, and it can turn out so badly. But when you follow the will of God, beautiful things will happen. So that's the first part of his life, the first lesson that we can learn from his life. The fact that he was a child, he grew up, he was a teenager, just like you're a teenager, he was an adult, just like you were an adult, and yet he followed God's will in each step of his life to the best of his ability. Of course, he's not perfect, he sinned, we all sin, but he managed to get through that. Now, he's famous for many other things. He's done theology of the body, wow, but we're not going to talk about that. He's done divine mercy, wow, but we're not going to talk about that. He's done the World Youth Day and traveled to see the youth and revitalize the youth in the church, wow, but we're not going to talk about that. But one thing I do want to mention, the second aspect that I'd like you to reflect upon and take some time to think about, or it's even worth just listening to in my reflection upon it, is the fact that he traveled so much. Traveled more than any other pope. And actually, it's not, for me personally, it's not so much that he traveled a lot that made an impact on me, but I had heard an interview that was being done where the reporter asked him a question, and the reporter asked, "Don't you think you're traveling too much?" And in a very simple way, he responded and said, "Sometimes it's necessary to do what is too much." And for me, when I had first heard that, it was at a time in my life where I was teaching middle school religion, and the Holy Spirit instantly, bang, it was like, sometimes it's necessary to do what is too much. I was teaching religion, I knew that the kids, I was saying that Jesus was really, truly, substantially present in the Eucharist, and I could tell that it was just a thought in the brain. And so I had to do something too much. And for me at that time, that too much was taking them to adoration every single day, 10 to 15 minutes, even though we only had a 45-minute class period, and just keep going, and just keep going, and keep going, and keep going. And I was just hitting them, and hitting them, and hitting them, until it hit them that that's really God. But it was necessary for me to do that too much. So it's important that you reflect in your life, in your spiritual life, the life of your family and friends, if you're a catechist, if you're a teacher, if you're a parent, what is God calling you to do too much? For me right now with my son, he's only 3 years old, but he likes to hear me tell him stories. So we've been, every day we go through some story, or we go through the mysteries for the day of the life of Jesus, and I tell him the story, and then if he wants to hear the rest of the story, we're going to pray in Our Father and 10 Hail Marys. And even to the point where we're getting slideshows and putting that on the wall, and my wife walks in and she thinks I'm nuts, and rightfully so. Why am I giving a slideshow presentation like if my son was in college or something, right? But it's too much. It's a little bit overboard, yes, but sometimes it's necessary to do what is too much. And just to add upon that, it's very interesting that when you find a holy person, they can, and I'm saying this about the Pope, Mother Teresa, you know, all these great saints, you know, Fulton Sheen, they have the knack or the grace that God gives them to say something very simple, but yet it have a profound impact on the hearer. The Holy Spirit works through that. I could read a speech from Pope John Paul II, and it would not have the same impact as if you heard the words coming from his mouth. And at the end of this short little video, I'm going to let you listen to a clip from John Paul II's homily when he was here in Boston visiting the United States. And you'll see the very simple things that he says. Wow, they have a deep power and a deep meaning. So the first thing that we reflected on his life was following the will of God. An average person following God's will set the world on fire, like St. Catherine of Siena says. The second thing we reflected upon about the Pope John Paul II was that we can do something too much. And it's always there's always something that we could be doing more. Saints, they're kind of like a little bit crazy. They're the crazy ones. They're the ones who kind of are just a little bit too fanatical. Well, that's what's necessary. What do we need to get across to individuals by doing something too much? The third one, saints. He canonized more saints than any other pope in history. Part of that could be because of modern communication. You're better able to learn about the lives of certain individuals. But another part of that is that he wanted to teach us something. He wanted to teach us two things through this saint canonization that he just kind of went on a rampage. He gave us Padre Pio. He gave us Maximilian Kolbe. He gave us Saint Faustina. The Lord gave them to us, and they gave themselves to the Lord, and therefore gave them to us. But he canonized them. He recognized the need to go out there and canonize as many saints as possible. One, obviously, to give us many role models. We need many role models in the faith that we can relate to, that we can reach out to, that we can have, we can share, and maybe we have the same charism that we can share in, we can look for them as an example. You can just look at the recent confirmation candidates. The saints that they're picking more and more often, you're not getting as many times as Saint Cecilia or your Saint Stephen. Well, yeah, you'll get them every once in a while, but now, more than ever, you're getting Padre Pio, Maximilian Kolbe, Saint Faustina. Right, wow, these wonderful modern saints. We've got so many in the church that we don't even know about. So we should really reflect upon their lives. So he's giving us that great benefit for us. All these saints that we have who followed Christ's footsteps and were Christ for the world in their everyday activities, in their specific vocation, in their specific location. All right, what is the second thing he's teaching us by all this canonization of all the saints? He's reminding us that we are also called to be saints. Where we're at, right here, right now, we are called to the same holiness. So he reminds us that the third point of reflection is that we're called to be saints. All right. That's the third point? That's the third point. The fourth point is prayer. And there's two, this is the fourth point, but it's also the fifth point. The fourth point and then the fifth point, they're both prayer, but the fourth point is Marian. Totus tuus. He gave his entire pontificate, he gave his entire life to the Blessed Mother. And if you call him Pope John Paul II, Pope John Paul the Great, if you think he's the great, he's only the great because he's an example of what the Blessed Mother can do when you give your life to her. And he recognized that the Holy Spirit, it's working through the Blessed Mother, that the Holy Spirit's going to bring Jesus into the world through Our Lady. What else did he do with Our Lady? He gave us more mysteries of the life of Christ. Why did he give us more mysteries of the life of Christ? Is he fiddling with the rosary? Sometimes the ultra-conservatives will say, I'm not praying these extra mysteries. I'm only praying the traditional, joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious. I'm not praying these New Age luminous mysteries. Oh, come on. Let's not be such a dodo. Our Lady always brings us to Christ. What is he doing? He's giving us even more to meditate upon on the life of Christ. The Rosary already, it's beautiful because it teaches us about the Incarnation. It teaches about the early life of Jesus. It teaches us about the Passion and Death, the most powerful thing on earth, the Crucifixion. It teaches us about the Resurrection. But by giving us the mysteries of the light, what is he doing? He's reminding us of the ministry of Jesus. This is so powerful, and it's necessary for us to learn who Christ is, to know who he is by praying the rosary in order for us to have a greater love for him. And also in his Marian devotion, what else is he teaching us? That we need spiritual backup. So he's Marian and Eucharistic centered. You'll never meet somebody who's Marian who isn't, and who's authentically Marian and not off the wall, but who's Marian and they're also become Eucharistic centered and very faithful to the magisterium. And finally, what does he teach us? This fifth most beautiful point. People notice it in all the pictures. What is it with prayer? Whenever he's praying, people say that he's like a rock. He's really focused. Bam, right there. He's just intense in his prayer. Is he saying lukewarm prayers? Is he always petitioning? Is he always, we don't know, right? We can't tell what his prayer's like, but we know one thing. It's a deep prayer, and it's a prayer of listening, of openness to the presence of God. It's kind of like the ocean. You've got a hurricane going on the top of the ocean. It's disastrous. Everything's just going crazy. Wind and rain and lightning and thunder, wow. But at the depth of the ocean, you're centered in the very bottom of the ocean, everything's very still and very calm. So could you imagine every time you went to go to Mass, every time you went to go to prayer, you've got millions of people around you? You have to enter into the depths, into the silence. And there he heard the voice of God. Where else did he get the inspiration to travel too much? Where else did he get the inspiration to canonize too many saints? Where else did he get the inspiration to be too Marian for most people? Wow, it's through a deep, deep contemplative life, or being open to the presence of God and being quiet. So let us, if we learn anything from our beloved Pope John Paul II, let us learn to do holy things too much to the extreme. Let us learn to follow in the lives of the saints. And let us learn to be extremely Marian, and most of all, let us learn to be quiet and to take time out to listen to the voice of God. Where else did he get all these inspirations? Where else did he get the courage to stand up to these totalitarian governments? Where else did he get the grace to keep on pushing forward in the face of all these people who are persecuting him? Where else did he get the grace to forgive the guy who shot him with the bullets? And again, that's very Marian too. There's a very important tie there. We're not going to go into that. God bless you and God love you. Pray for me. I pray for you. Enjoy this short little clip that I have from his homily in Boston. If you'd like a nice little music video montage, I'll put a link to that at the very end. It's very powerful. It's on one of my other channels. God bless you and God love you. Take care. Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Amen. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The reason for my mission, for my journey through the United States is to tell you, to tell everyone, young and old alike, to say to everyone, in the name of Christ, come and follow me. Follow Christ. You who are married, share your love and your burdens with each other. Respect the human dignity of your spouse. Accept joyfully the life that God gives through you. Make your marriage stable and secure for your children's sake. Follow Christ. You who are single or who are preparing for marriage, follow Christ. You who are young or old, follow Christ. You who are sick or aging, who are suffering or in pain, you who feel the need for healing, the need for love, the need for a friend, follow Christ. And so, to all of you, I extend in the name of Christ the call, the invitation, the plea, come and follow me. This is why I have come to America, and why I have come to Boston tonight. To call you to Christ, to call all of you and each of you to live in his love today and forever. Amen.